All right, good evening, everyone. We're glad you're back for the evening service, and we're thankful that you've come out to be with us and to fellowship together. It's always a blessing to be here and serving the Lord. I'm going to be talking with the folks that have our hymn book this week and seeing if we can sing so that we can find out if that's legal or not. I know there's a copyright stuff, and I'm not really up on that, so I will give the hymn book writers or owners a call and see if that's legal. And if it is, then we can start singing and praising the Lord in that way. But, of course, you can always sing in your house and praise the Lord at any time. And so I encourage you to do that, to praise the Lord. Remember, we won't have meetings with Brother Schwenke this week coming up. We were going to be starting this next Sunday, but those have been canceled due to the flu epidemic. And so we will hopefully get that rescheduled here sometime in the future. And I need to remind everyone who might be watching from and doesn't come to our church where we are. We're located physically at 407 Marley Station Road in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And so we invite you to come out to be with us. And when all this gets over, you're certainly welcome to come and fellowship with us and be here at our church. And for the church members, let me just remind you again concerning the offerings. You can send your offering in by mail, or you can use the website and do it on the credit card if that's fine with you, whatever, just so that we remind folks about that. The bills still go on, even though we can't be here physically and pass out the offerings. And again, I want to just thank everyone for all the hard work they've put in to get all of these things going forward and to help us keep going for the Lord in these days. Well, let's go ahead and go to Exodus chapter 28. We've been going through the book of Exodus, and we finished Genesis and Exodus, and we're in Exodus 28 now. And we're looking at the clothing that was worn now for the high priest. And by the priest in general and the high priest in specific. And so we're going to look at these particular things here today. And so we hope this will be a blessing. And I think there's some lessons that we can learn from these clothes concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, of course, the great high priest. He is the one that fulfilled all that is found here in the Old Testament. And so as the Aaronic priesthood, gave out the was given instructions concerning how they were to dress, that applies as well to us as Christians today. And so I want to learn some lessons from the Aaronic priesthood today. So beginning in verse number 1, it says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen." Now, I'll stop there because it is a longer passage, and we'll just read it as we go. This is the first five verses here deal with the Aaronic priesthood being established. You see God telling the Moses that he is to take his brother Aaron and his four sons to become the priest, which are now going to serve the Lord. And so Aaron and his sons are called to be priests. You know, it is God who establishes the way by which he is to be approached. I know people like to think, well, we get to decide how we do things, but it's not true. It is God who determines how we are to worship him and the way by which we are to serve the Lord. And it's also a truth that priests served as mediators in the life of fellowship with God. You know, because of sin entering in there at the Garden of Eden, we were not allowed to continue to have direct access and fellowship with God. Since that time, there has been a need to come to God through some other means. Initially, God established there a sacrifice, and they would bring that sacrifice, and that would be a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. Well, here he is establishing a whole system of mediators that are to go between the people and God. And so this was the system that is there. And today we have a great mediator. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. He allows us to have access unto the Father, to come boldly because of the work that he has done. He died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. He rose again for our justification. And he serves as that great mediator between us and God. And so we have that wonderful privilege. Now, they are to have sacred garments to give them dignity and honor, it says, for glory and for beauty. Those who serve the Lord are to be a people holy and a people who are dignified and honorable. We're not to be ugly people. We're not to be inglorious people. We're not to be mean-spirited kind of people, people who are rude and unkind and vicious and all those sorts of qualities. Rather, we are to be a holy people, people set apart unto the Lord, who are dignified and who are honorable in our service for the Lord. And these garments, we're told here in chapter 35, and verse 19, were to be only worn when they were serving. These were not to be their everyday clothes that they would wear out doing normal work. This was to be the clothes that they would wear when they came to serve the Lord. And these were clothes were to be made by the skilled workmen. Workmen whom God had given the wisdom or the skill that was necessary for them to make the articles that would thus be used to consecrate or set apart the priest. God gives us abilities. He gives us the skills. He gives us the abilities to be able to do the work that he's called us to do. Now, what are those skills and abilities? Well, in our modern age, there's a lot of skills and abilities that are necessary to do the work of the Lord. He gives us ability to talk. He gives us ability to understand his word. He gives us ability to pray. He gives us abilities to do internet stuff and all this kind of things. God gives us these skills and abilities and enables us to do the work of the Lord. And we serve then in the power of the Lord. Remember, as you're serving the Lord, it is not in your own might. Because if we lean on the arm of flesh, it's going to fail us. But if we lean on the Lord, we're going to be fine. And so we recognize that it is in the power of Christ that we serve. Now, it lists for us eight garments that were to be made. The four inner garments, which were worn by all the priests, there was the tunic, the linen, undergarments, the sashes, and the headbands. And then there were four outer garments, which were worn by the high priest, the breastpiece, the ephod, the robe, and the mitre or the turban. These were the outer garments worn by the priest. So now let's look at the priest garments in specifics here. And this is a longer portion. This goes from verses 6 down through the end of verse 39. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. It shall have two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold, and of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt make two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and on the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engraving of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ounces of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ounces of gold. and two chains of pure gold at the ends of the wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. Then, and thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod shalt thou make it, of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square shall it be, being doubled, a span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row shall be a lignor, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row shall be a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in 2 ounces, and put on them the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make 2 rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the 2 ends of the breastplates in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And 2 other rings of gold shalt thou make, and put them on the 2 sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosened from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart. And when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof, and it shall have a binding of woven work around about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, shall it be not, that it be not rent. And beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and the bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, and a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it like unto the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And thou shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon the forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, And thou shalt make them a mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. Now, here we have given to us the high priest's garments. So first we have the ephod, which was basically a sleeveless outer garment that was made in two pieces that went over the top. So it would be connected at the shoulder with some straps. It was made of white, blue, purple, scarlet, and intertwined with gold thread. And it hung over the shoulder by the straps, on which on each side there was an onyx stone. And in the onyx stone there was engraved the six of the tribes of the children of Israel based upon their order of birth. And so that was that garment. And then it was held together, according to verse 8, by a waistband that would hold that to the body. So that would go around this robe-like thing and, you know, tie in the front there, and that would keep it close to his body. Now, he also had a breastpiece, and this is described there in verses 15 to 30. And it was supposed to be 9 inches square, but it's made out of a piece of cloth that is 9 inches by 18 inches and then folded over, so that when it's folded over, it, of course, would make like a pocket. And so there in the underneath, you could put the Urim and the Thummim, and those two stones, or whatever exactly they were, would go inside of there. And then on the part that is outward, there were 4 rows of 3 stones each, and the stones are listed as to what were the stones, and then they were set in engravings of or in gold settings, and then it's placed onto the cloth in some manner, held onto that, and then that had chains that were holding that onto the ephod. And so all of this is all hung together so that it is there upon it. And so, in other words, the names of the children of Israel right there upon the chest of him, as well as on the shoulders, he has the names of the children of Israel upon him. And so this was the situation that was there. Now, regarding the Urim and the Thummim, these two things, we don't know exactly what they are because the words themselves mean lights and perfections. So there was lights and perfections. Now, obviously, you can't put lights. They didn't have, you know, they couldn't have used a candle. That wouldn't have worked. So what exactly was that, the light and the perfection? Most people think it was probably 2 stones. And they were used by to give direction as to what would be God's direction or his leading in a particular issue. Maybe one would give the answer yes and one would give the answer no. Something like that is probably the idea. Now, of course, Christ is, as the great high priest, is the light of God. He is the light of the world. And such, he fulfills the lights aspect of the Urim. And he is also the perfect man who came to pay the penalty for our sins. And he could do that because he lived a life of sinless righteousness. And because of that, he is the perfect man. He had no sin in himself. He did no sin in his body. And as a result, he is perfection. And thus, he fulfills both of these things to us. God gives us the ability to make decisions today based upon 2 things, light and perfections. See, we can make decisions. How do we know what the decisions are? Well, we have the Word of God to direct us. And there's many things in the Word of God that lay out for us very plainly what we're supposed to do. Some things are very abundantly clear. You don't need to pray and ask God, am I supposed to do this? God's already told you what you're supposed to do. Other things, you get the light of God's Word, which gives you the direction of how to live and what to do. Proverbs, for instance, is full of wisdom that shows us how to respond in circumstances, how to respond to people, how to act in situations so that we know the right way wherein to go. And so you have that. And you also have the perfections of the Lord Christ who dwells within our heart to direct us and to guide us and to lead us. And so we can depend upon the Lord to show us that good and right way. Then in verses 31 to 35, we have the description of the robe, which was a long, seamless blue robe, and it was to be woven so that it did not have any seam. It had 2 armholes and a head hole, and the head hole was to be weaved around so that it wouldn't rip. You know, it was to have some kind of a tight weaving there so that it did not rip. and then it went down below the knees. And so this was the situation there. And on the bottom of it, it was to have pomegranates and bells made onto the bottom of it. Now, whether the pomegranates were embroidered into the bottom and then the bells hung off the bottom, or whether they were, you know, separate pomegranates made, because, you know, they're kind of a red fruit. What exactly that was, it's not specified particularly, but in some way there was to be this. And as such, as the priest would move around, you would hear the bells that were down there on the bottom of his robe tinkling as he's moving around. And so it would be a beautiful kind of sound, and you would be able to know as a person, is God accepting my sacrifice? Well, I can hear the sound. Yes, God's accepting my sacrifice. He's not dead. He's still moving. If God rejected the sacrifice, he'd fall down dead and it'd be quiet. And there you would know that God had rejected. And so here they knew that God had accepted them, and thus it was a symbol of God's mercy. So maybe you might want to think about that the next time you hear some bells ringing, that it's ringing out the mercy of the Lord. God is still merciful to us. Then there was a plate of pure gold, which was to be fitted on his headband or his turban or his mitre, whatever the particular shape of that thing was. And it was to be made out of pure gold, and on it was to be written, holiness unto the Lord. Now, this is a wonderful phrase there, because the priest, you know, the thing that would just shine forth to you beyond all of the colors in his robes and the, you know, stones on his chest, was the fact that shining out of his head is holiness to the Lord. The one who bears the people's guilt had to be one who was absolutely holy. And this, of course, points to our Lord Jesus Christ. He who bore the sins of the world in his own body on the tree had to himself be absolute holiness unto God. He is not merely holy in that he does things that are right. He is holiness. He is absolutely himself pure. He is holy. There is no sin in him. He is that one, and only Christ is that one who fulfills that truly. Now, certainly, we are called to be holy. The scriptures tell us to be holy even as he is holy. And there's no excuse for us not to be, because he's given us everything we need to live godly in Christ Jesus. Unfortunately, we still sin. And that's why we're told to confess our sins and forsake those things. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so we're so thankful that our salvation rests not upon ourselves and not upon our abilities to keep, but it rests upon what the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself holiness unto the Lord. And that holiness unto the Lord is imputed unto us, and then we are given the forgiveness of sins. What a blessing we have. And then the turban was made out of linen. And that's basically all it tells us about the turban. It was made out of linen. And so these were the parts of the priest. And, you know, you can go online and find pictures of the priest's garments and try to get an idea of what people think it might have looked like. Of course, nobody really knows what it looks like because it's been gone for thousands of years. But, you know, you can kind of get an idea of what it was. And certainly it was a thing that would have ascribed unto them a certain degree of dignity and beauty. In a day when most people would have had one or two sets of clothes at the most, to have had such a set of garments made for you would have been a wonderful and magnificent thing. You know, they would have been standing out there in shocking array, you know, very beautiful, standing out, whereas most people would have had one set of clothes, which would have been pretty dirty and, you know, all that. Here they are standing so clean, so beautiful, and so pure. And what a standard that would have been. Then the ordinary priest in verses 40 to 43. And Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons and with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. So now we come to the garments that were worn by the regular or ordinary priest, not the high priest in particular, although the high priest would wear all of these things too. He just had all the other stuff on top of it. So they were to wear tunics and sashes and headbands. And these would thus, it says, give them dignity and honor just like the others, just like the high priest. They were to be anointed. That is, they were to have the anointing oil poured upon them. And that was a symbol of the fact that the Spirit of God had come upon them. They were under the control of God. They were set apart. It was a special act that was done. It was something they could point to, remember physically. This is something special. They were then ordained. They were given a job. They were given a responsibility. They had a job to do. They were to fulfill that work of the Lord, and they were set apart for this purpose, to serve the Lord. Now, today we ordain ministers to serve the Lord, but in a certain sense, all of us have the anointing of the Spirit of God upon our hearts. And we all have a responsibility to be serving the Lord. We all have a job to do for Christ, and we all ought to be consecrated, set apart from sin, and be a holy people who are serving the Lord. Now, it also says they were given undergarments. So they had these from their waist down to their thighs, so they were given these linen undergarments that they were to wear. Now, you know, what the normal person wore, I don't have no idea. They had their robe, and so I have no idea what they wore under their robe. But they, you know, here they're given these undergarments, and they are to wear these things, and so it's made out as to be a special point that they were to be a people who were covered from their nakedness. And this was the first thing that happened. You know, the Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the first thing that occurred to them was, hey, we're naked. We are now, God can see us. He can see our sin. He can, you know, before that, there was no sense of that. There was no shame. But now there's shame. This is a reminder of the sinfulness of man. And so here they were to have these things covered. And these clothes were to be worn again whenever they were ministering in the tent or at the altar. So whenever they would go to minister, they were to wear these clothes. Now, ultimately, the tribe of Levi would grow, and the priesthood would get so big that they would only serve 2 weeks out of the year. And David lays all of that out, and Solomon, they lay all of these responsibilities out and organize that according to the different groups. And so for 2 weeks a year, they would serve, and then 50 weeks out of the year, they'd go home and do whatever you needed to do for the rest of the year. And so, you know, I'm sure some of them had gardens and grew crops and worked in their communities and did other things. But they would, for 2 weeks, serve the Lord in these regards. And then during that time, they would put on their priestly clothes. When that ministry was done, they would take off the priestly clothes. Now today, we've put on the righteousness of Christ. And these are clothes that we are to take off some clothes. He says, you know, the old clothes of wickedness are to be put off, and we're to put on the new clothes of righteousness. And that's how we're to live. We're to live in that way and never get to the place where we take those off. The priest in the Old Testament would take those clothes off, but not us. We're supposed to always be serving the Lord. So, you know, there's never a time when we can say to ourselves, well, now I'm done with church. I can go out and be as wicked as I want. No. We're to always be serving the Lord. We're always be righteous. We're to always be a holy people. And so Christ, as the great high priest, fulfills all of this. He is holiness unto the Lord. He is the one who bears on his chest the iniquity of us all. Our sins were laid upon him. We are written on his own hands, on his own body. We are engraved by the marks that he bore for us. And so what a great picture this is of the great high priest that we have, the mediator with whom we may come boldly into the throne room of grace. What privilege we have. And so all of these things in the Old Testament are revealing Christ, but it is, you know, Christ is kind of hidden under there. It's, you know, these one person put it, Christ is concealed in the Old Testament, but he is revealed in the New Testament. And so there we see this picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope as we think about these things, as you read through your Bible and you read through all of these things, I know it can be long and hard and difficult to understand some of these messages and understand all of that's there, you know, and you can get lost certainly in all of these words and you know, all of those things. But remember that it's picturing Christ. And just ask the Lord to help you and say, Lord, show me yourself. Reveal yourself unto me that I might know you. Well, we're going to go ahead and close the service. You know, we don't have to do any of the normal things we normally do at church, like pick up hymn books and, you know, get ready for, you know, Grandparents' Day and all these other activities that we normally, you know, have to tear the stage off and do all these things. You don't have to do any of those things anymore for at least a little while until things get back to normal. But remember to serve the Lord as you go out this week. God can use you, and you are to be an example of the Lord in both dignity and beauty, in glory and beauty as we serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight and to worship you together. We thank you, Lord, for all that have been able to come out and worship with us. We pray that you encourage them and strengthen them. Help us, Lord, to grow in the grace of our Savior. May we be more like Jesus. And again, Lord, we thank you for all you've done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.